boundless form, and Arjun, astonished at the sight of Lord Mahavishnu, bowed down as well. Then, as the two of them stood before him with joined palms, the Almighty Mahavishnu, the Supreme Master of all rulers of the universe, smiled and spoke to them in a voice full of solemn authority. So a little bit, I'd like to welcome all of you that have come. Where are you coming from? Gainesville. You're students at the university?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming. This part of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the 10th canto. It's taken us about 10 years to get to this study, to this part of it. So I'll try to back up a little bit here. That and quick synopsis. Krishna and Arjun have just gone through all the layers of the universe. This universe, it's shaped something like an egg, and it has 8 layers, each 10 times thicker than the other one, starting the subtlest element and getting to the grossest element. And we're inside, so it's dark here. There's a sunlight needed to. So they've gone through these, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, the realm of mind, intelligence, and the separating identity of thinking that was disconnected from Krishna. And now they're talking to Mahavishnu, and there's some very fascinating things taking place here, because they're already outside. It's even the mystics can go through that. That's in a second canto, second chapter, text 28, about how mystics can also go through these 8 layers. And then it's also in the third canto, second chapter, text 6, of how to do that. This is the process that we're following, is we're going through these same 8 layers through, it's a process called the Bhakti Lata Bij. And in that process, one also goes through all 8 layers, and it's explained in that purport, 3, 2, 6. Okay, so I'm going to read the purport, and we have 2 more verses too, and then I'm going to tie this all together, because without understanding Krishna, you really can't understand anything. So we understand Krishna, then we can understand ourselves. So when we understand Krishna, there's 2 aspects that I find is essential for understanding. There's actually 6, but we're going to just talk about 2, and that's called the tattva, the category of understanding the truth about who Krishna is. And then what are you going to do with that? Because you're a person and Krishna is a person. So ultimately, everything is personal. We go Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani, preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western worlds, which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. So even though Krishna is all-pervading, they say that nothing is all-pervading. That's a pun on the words there. But the nirvisesha sunyavadi. So once we recognize, or we're taught and we understand how we're actually always connected with Krishna, and we're always in Krishna, we're always interacting with different energies of Krishna. So we're going beyond the impersonal modes of nature aspect of Krishna to the personal aspect. This is bhakti yoga, bhakti mam api jananti, that the only way you can know Krishna or yourself is by bhakti. So when you learn about bhakti, then like when the sun comes up, you can also see yourself by direct perception. 9-2, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, you get direct perception, very confidential. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the following observations on this verse. Just as Lord Krishna offered obeisances to his own deity during the worship of Govardhan Hill, so now he also paid homage to his Vishnu expansion for the purpose of playing out his pastimes. So this is the point that I was going to try to make as the theme here, is There's always personal interaction going on. That even though you understand the tattva, that in tattva, Mahavishnu's expansion of Krishna. But in this particular lila, Krishna is offering obeisances to Mahavishnu. So this is a little bit of a quandary that our acharyas help us understand, that he's in lila with understanding how Krishna's position with Arjuna isn't fully in the internal potency. Sometimes I'll back it up a little bit more too. As I was explaining, there's tattva that establishes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all his features. And then after the tattva is established, one can understand by bhakti that relationship is the most important with Krishna. We have a relationship with Krishna. And when that's not manifest, we're in a suffering condition of forgetfulness. So then there's the rasa. So the way that I explain things is that tattva establishes rasa, but then rasa uses tattva for its own purposes. In other words, ultimately, it's the Krishna's pleasure. He's personal, he's a person, and he has a relationship with every one of us. And the perception that we have of everything, which is Krishna, is always defined by our relationship with him. So here, Mahavishnu is also continuing the relationship that Krishna has with Arjuna. Right now, this is before the battle of Kurukshetra. So in the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna has an eye-opening experience in chapter 11 where he understands how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he has a loving relationship with Krishna, this particular aspect of Krishna is not so congenial to his relationship. So it only lasts till the end of the chapter. And then Krishna allows his two-armed form to manifest so the relationship can continue. But Krishna does that. He does it to his mother. Mother Yasoda looked in the mouth of Krishna. You've been eating dirt? And Krishna says, well, if you think I've been eating dirt, you can take a look in my mouth. And Krishna showed the whole universal form. So he's playful. And here he is. He knows if he does that too much, everybody's going to have such awe and veneration for him that it won't be much fun. So he shows it and then he takes it away again. So Mother Yasoda, after Krishna took away the universal form and Mother Yasoda in his mouth, so Mother Yasoda didn't see it anymore, she says, don't do that anymore. Because we're hoping that Krishna will advance enough that we don't have to be under the influence of his external energy. So we can actually participate all the time. What's the word for all the time? Moo-hoo! Moo-hoo! Always be relishing this Srimad Bhagavatam. This Srimad Bhagavatam, it's for the thoughtful person. And thoughtful means that after you explain that you're not this body, fruit of activities just generates another material body, you become intelligent enough to say, well, how do I come out of this illusion that's keeping me bound up? And that's by bhakti. Bhakti stops the process of karma. And so then one can get comes out as Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nisochatina Kanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate. So this Labhate Param, this is where the devotional service, sometimes it says it starts there, where one understands the modes of nature of the forgetfulness of not having Krishna present. But just like there's a nice verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So this Smaranam It's also explained in the Nectar Devotion. Pranas usually likes to quote that. Would you like to quote it, Pran? Ah, see if you're paying attention. In the Nectar Devotion, remembrance.
Ah. Continuous relationship in the mind. That is mind.
That is remembrance. So this continuous relationship. So for us, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, this Bhagavatam, this is what is meant for our thinking. This is our intelligence. This is our knowledge. This is our life. Is Srimad Bhagavatam, serving Bhagavatam, distributing Bhagavatam, conversing one another, enlivening one another, discussing Bhagavatam, relishing Bhagavatam. So this is what the thoughtfulness is supposed to do. It's time for you to all go. Well, thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. It was nice having you here. Come again if you can. Okay. So the rest of this purport and the other two verses. Lord Mahavishnu appeared before... I didn't quite finish the first paragraph. Okay. Just like he also paid homage to his expansions for the purpose of playing out his pastimes. So that's very important for us to understand, the tattva and the rasa. Those two things have to be established. Because if you just have one without the other, it won't work right. If you got the rasa without the tattva, you'll be a sahaja. And if you have the tattva without the rasa, it won't be maduram. It won't have that sweetness. Because sometimes they say dry philosophy. So what do they mean when they say dry? It means it doesn't have any juice. Dry is missing the juice. And the juice in Sanskrit is rasa. So that's the juice. So you have to recognize, even right now, is Krishna all-pervading? Like sometimes we make jokes and I say, we come in, we talk to the floor. First thing we come in, we say, our basis, this is the floor. Does the floor hear that? We understand that Krishna is all-pervading. Who had a problem with that was Hiranyakashipu. And he was talking to Prahlad. And he says, where is your Krishna? He says, he's everywhere. Well, if he's everywhere, is he in this column? Yeah, he's in the column too. You don't have to take my word for it. Check it out for yourself. So, all right. So, he also found out that Krishna, he made a special cameo appearance just for, I guess it was for Prahlad, but Hiranyakashipu got a lot of benefit out of that too. It's hard to say. So the same way with this, that's relevant to this story, because why did Mahavishnu want to see Krishna? He could have saw Krishna after the first one. He could have saw him when he went to Dwarka to pick up the son of the Brahmin. He was right there. Why not just go over and see Krishna? Why do you have to have him come see him? So, of course, that's tomorrow, so I'm not going to spoil the thunder for Satious Clay. He does the wrap up for tomorrow. Okay, so I'm going to continue. All right. As the Lord is Ananta, possessing countless manifestations, and his eight-armed form is among them. So Mahavishnu has eight arms. He is Achyuta, never falling from his position. In the sense, that he never stops engaging in his human-like pastimes as a cowherd boy of Vrindavan. Thus, to safeguard the special sanctity of his human-like pastimes as Krishna, he offered obeisances to his own plenary expansion. Everybody get that? That's a little bit of a key point about the tattva and the rasa. That, in other words, it appears that they're out of tattva, that this shouldn't, the etiquette doesn't seem right. But here explaining why, it's to serve the rasa. So even though tattva establishes rasa, rasa uses tattva for its own purposes. So there's leniency there. You can't be too tough. You got to see the how it's used for rasa. That'll round off the edges a little bit. Lord Mahavishnu appeared before Krishna and Arjuna as Bhuma, the supreme opulent one, and as Paramastinaha, na, Prabhu, the Lord of multitudes of Brahmas, ruling over millions of universes. With solemn authority, he spoke in such a way to bewilder Arjuna in obedience to Sri Krishna's intention. So there's something going on here. It's not what it looks like. We're getting the director's cut here, where we're getting inside scoop, inside potency, internal potency. Okay. He spoke in such a way as to bewilder Arjuna in obedience to Sri Krishna's intentions. His smile, man, hinted at his private thoughts. Just see how these acharyas can see that Mahavishnu is smiling and he's sending a message over to Krishna. So they're communicating through this smile. You know, you can, like with Krishna, he has his sidelong glances, or you could even ask Mahavishnu, what's in a glance? Right? Glances over to me. Okay. Those are just... Which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has revealed for our benefit. So here's what we're going to get, the inside scoop. My dear Krishna, by your desire, I will describe my superiority, even though I am your expansion. At the same time, however, I will subtly imply in my statements that the supreme position of your beauty, character, and power, and the fact that you are the source from which I emanate. Just see how clever I am. And in front of Arjuna, I am confidentially divulging my true identity as non-different from you. That's in a smile. So when Mahavishnu smiles at Krishna, it's not just a pleasantry. It has all within it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving that to us. So it's always, see, in our life, everything that happens, if we just take it, well, we have a couple choices. We got Maya, more or less a default setting, you know, just mode of passion, ignorance, I'm the body, why is this, I got good things, I'm the bad people, I'm the good people. What's going on? Or we can Shastra Chaksus and take it up to Tattva, or we can even go further and take it up to Rasa in invoking prayers that where Krishna's not to blame. We say that 10.14.8, the Tenu Kampam verse, that I offer my obeisances to Krishna, and then those obeisances can have all types of depth to the, it can be just the mighty sadhana obeisances. I'm doing this because that's what you're supposed to do. You come in, you offer your obeisances. You get up, you offer your obeisances. You keep doing it. And it gradually it's supposed to soak in. So after a while, like each word of those obeisances, just like all the words that we always say, have unlimited depth to them, ultimately up to prema. Everything has that. Prabhupada's explained in chapter 47 in the 10th canto in the Krishna book that pure love of Godhead is intrinsically integrated into everything. Just like an easy example for Kulu Sudra, Sambhava, Sudra like myself, is in this room there's all different frequencies. They get frequencies, something in the air to vibrate. And they use it as a radio. And something else can pick up that vibration in the air and amplify it, and you can hear it without any distortion. And then they did it with television. They put light vibrating. Somehow or other, there's television in the air here. You could pick it. And then they they do it with cell phones. with a particular frequency, they can tune that device that it picks up a particular frequency, and you can hear it just like the person's right next to you. How do they do that? Something vibrating in the air. So Krishna's also vibrating in the air. But the frequency for that, you have to tune your heart. It's Vishuddhisattva platform. So we're generally only, at this point, picking up usually Rajas and Tamas frequencies. So if we can tune the crystal of our heart to pick it up, and the tuning process is the chanting of the holy name. So we tune our heart to pick up the Vishuddhisattva, because that's Krishna. He's non-different from his name, and he's always, well, he's transmitting, but usually our receivers are turned off. You know, so if we turn it on, then we can have, in the old radios, I think they were the one CB radios, I think they were. They used to have one button for talk and one button for receive. So you had to switch back and forth. There was a little thing they held in their hand. They pressed the button to talk and then released the button to listen. So we have to establish our relationship with Krishna, because he's always transmitting in Vishuddhisattva, pure devotional service. We have to come to that state. Then, so everything that's going on is he taps you on your shoulder kind of lightly sometimes. Hey, over here, over here. Nowadays, he may tap a little bit harder if you don't listen. Like, sometimes you watch children trying to get the attention of their mother who's talking to someone else, and they come by and they say, Mom, and she doesn't pay any attention. So then they may tag a little bit on her sorry or something like that, and they may not listen yet. It depends. Some mothers are very attentive and some, you know, not so much. So what will the child do? Generally speaking, they won't just stop. They'll ramp up until everybody, if the mother's not watching, everybody else is, and they're going to come over and assist that child to, hey, pay attention to your kid. You know, they're going to wreck the whole place. So Krishna starts off just tapping you lightly, and then Gayatri, he taps a little bit more like, hey, over here, this is where you're to look, over here. You know, because I once had a friend that asked me what time it. No, he asked me what the manufacturer of my watch was. So I looked at my watch and I said, it's a Casio. So then he says, what time is it? And he said, oh, don't look. I said, don't look, but you just asked me. He said to me who the manufacturer was. So when I looked at my watch, I didn't look to see what time it was. I looked to see what the manufacturer was. So he goes, just see. You only see what you're looking for. So, and it's a fact. You only see what, and sometimes you can't even see what you're looking for. Do you ever look for your glasses? A lot. Well, it's hard to look for your glasses because you can't see. But then sometimes you'll look right at what you're looking for and you'll go right by it. Like I was talking to somebody this morning on the path around the temple, and the wife went by twice and didn't see who I was talking to. She was looking for him but didn't see him, even though he was talking to us right there. So anyway, sometimes you don't even see that. So the thing is, you have to train yourself to look for Krishna. And that's our training. Our training is how to see Krishna in everything. And then tattva. But then Krishna always says, well, what are you going to do with that? I'll give you some knowledge. Okay, you're not your body. Is that enough? What are you going to do with that? You know, because the next thing is you have to ask more questions. Bhagavatam's all questions and answers. So you keep asking, well, what's that mean? Well, there's a lot of ramifications to that, isn't there? If you're not that body, then you're putting money in the wrong account. Imagine if you went to the bank every week and put all your money in the bank, and then you go back later on and say, I'm sorry, sir, you've been putting that all in the wrong account. You can't get any of it back. Oh, I better read some more time. Okay. So we got the inside scoop that there's a smile between Mahavishnu and Krishna. Krishna doesn't, he's keeping Arjuna a little bit from knowing what's going on here. And that's going to come out. Actually, I think it comes out tomorrow. It's very, everything that Krishna does is sweet. That's the point. In fact, Krishna even wants to know how sweet that is to be a devotee. So what's he do? No, Ranga. Desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes, and the happiness that she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari appeared, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Mother Sachi, just like the moon appears from the ocean. Chandra, go to Chandra. Okay. Oh, more. Translation for the next verse. We're up to 58. Oh, Keshav is up. Almost. Mahavishnu said, I brought the Brahmin sons here because I wanted to see the two of you, my expansions, who have descended to the earth to save the principles of religion. As soon as you finish killing the demons who burden the earth, quickly come back here to me. Purport. Oh, yeah. See, you got to know the inside scoop. Not just tattva. You got to know rasa. What's the verse if you want to know tattva and rasa? Madhya Lila 265. You remember, Keshava? Krishna tattva. Bhakti tattva. Prema tattva sara. And then three more. Bhava tattva. Rasa tattva. Lila tattva ar. So this is the glorification of the Bhagavatam, explaining that there's six elements are required to understand Krishna consciousness. These are the six. If you got one, two, that's all right. But you'd have all six of these things. And he's explaining, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's glorifying how when Lord Chaitanya went back to talk to the residents of Varnaris, he was explaining the glories of the Bhagavatam. He says, these six things are understood, and this is how you understand Krishna consciousness. You understand the truth of Krishna. How do you understand Krishna? Bhakti mam abhijananti. You do, and where do you go if you perform bhakti? Sambandha abhide, where are you going to go? You're going to go to prema. That's the essential. But to understand those three, you have to understand what is devotional service and ecstasy. And then, how does that ecstasy interact to produce rasa? And how does rasa make up what is lila, your eternal life, bliss and knowledge? All right. So, purport to text 58. As explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the secret import to these words spoken for Arjuna's edification is as follows. You too have descended along with your Kalas, your personal energies should kindly return to me after killing the demons who burden the earth. Please quickly send these demons here to me for the sake of their liberation. It is stated in the Srihari Vamsa and in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the path of the gradual liberation passes through the intermediate station of Mahavishnu's abode outside the eight shells of the universe. So I got that here, but the time, it's a slightly different way to go from where in 2 minutes. I got to read the last verse because there is one more verse. Maybe you want to do the Sanskrit for this occasion?
Una kama vapi yuvam nara narayana Vishi mama charatam stityai vishabhau lokasangraham.
Although all your desires are completely fulfilled, O best of exalted personalities, for the benefit of people in general, you should continue exemplify religious behavior as the sages Nar and Narayana. Okay, so I'm going to stop here for questions because it's the timers. Which one? I'll just follow what our acharyas have said on this verse. Oh, he didn't say anything.
I've got
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Oh.
He's a different Krishna?
No, he's not a different Krishna.
But Mahaprabhu said that he descended from him. He's an expansion.
That's why you have to pay attention. That there's the tattva and the rasa. So the smile, remember from the verse before,
yeah.
The smile is that they're incognito. Krishna's incognito almost all the time. He's playing a human being. You would think Arjuna would have thought something a little peculiar since they just took a chariot ride through the 8 coverings of the universe. But this yoga maya, this is what is the most essential, special aspect of Krishna consciousness, is understanding this, how the internal potency works. Just like, for instance, in the Brahma illusion, Leela, Vimoha. When Lord Brahma went to talk to Krishna, do you know what Krishna said to Lord Brahma? Nothing. He didn't even acknowledge him. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Krishna wasn't able to access his omniscience. Now, how are you going to explain that one? Krishna doesn't access his omniscience. That's like an oxymoron. Omniscience means he knows everything, but he can't access knowing everything. So what is more powerful than him? What's more powerful than Krishna? Krishna is the supreme power. Tattva, Krishna says, I'm independent. I'm in complete charge of everything. Now, when you go to rasa, what happens if you ask Radharani, is Krishna independent? What she'll say? One of her particular qualities, I think it's number 24, is Krishna is always under my control. And then Krishna, when Radha's Krishna, he also says, with the Krishna that we worship, he says, I don't have any independence. I'm always controlled by the love of my devotees. So is Krishna independent? Tattva, rasa. So you always have to have these two things. That's why we quoted that verse. I had Kesha quote the verse. Krishna tattva, bhava tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara. Bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva. You got to get all 6 of them. You can't just... So he's playing a part that was the smile. That was the part of understanding that smile. That smile was very important, and that's why we see that. That in fact, you're requested that, think about this for a minute. He says, in fact, meditate on it. The smile of Vishnu. Who knows the verse about Krishna in the 3rd canto, about his smile, the laughter of Vishnu? It says that one should meditate on the laughter of Vishnu, and there's nothing as purifying as thinking Krishna's always smiling. So there's something else going on here beside, and that's tomorrow's class, so I can't tell you everything. It's tomorrow's class.
I still don't understand.
I know, you have to stay tuned. Tomorrow's going to...
I understand that Krishna in Vrindavan is not the same Krishna at Kurukshetra.
No, in one sense there is, and in one sense there is.
Dwarka Krishna, Mathura Krishna, and Vrindavan Krishna. But does he really mean that Krishna was an expansion of Mahavishnu? That's what he said there.
No. Yes. Yes and no. Okay. He's chomping at the bit. Can you give the tomorrow? You want to wait till tomorrow? It's in tomorrow's, you know, thing. See, it's a serial. Do you ever go to movies when you're a kid? They have one part of it, and then you got to come back tomorrow to see the next part. And say she's giving a class, so it's not like me, you know. It'll be organized, and it'll explain. Anyway, you just remember those 6 things. Krishna, tattva, bhakti. It's the relationship. It's about relationships. Tattva is there to establish relationships, but then the relationships use tattva for its own purposes. So it's all about In fact, Krishna in his nutshell verse says, Vite vitam napritiye tattva. So when you look at it, He says, if it doesn't have a relationship with me, it doesn't have any value. No artha.
Can you address Narayana?
Not much. But the time's up. We'll talk after the class.
Okay.
Is that right? Thank you very much for all those who managed to stay to the end. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada.